start of worship, Psalm 148, 1 to 5. Please join with me as we share these words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the highest heaven. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts.
Minor. But I couldn't believe what I heard the doctor say. You've got the beginning of kidney disease. I feel fine. But remember, I said that back in December and January, too. I had COVID. I feel fine. And I do. There's no side effects to that type of thing. But at any rate, there's things that do happen in our lives that we have no control over. And I know that there are a number of people, I shouldn't say really a number, there are a few of our friends that are here at Harbor of Joy that are, in hospice, some that are in hospitals, and just a lot of different things that are going on. And so our hearts go out to them, we pray for them, we will later on here. But as you got your bulletin here today, I just want to highlight some things in there. You got a little flyer in there about Stones Cry Out. They're going to be here on Mother's Day. That's probably 2 Sundays from now, 2 weeks from now. They're friends of mine. They're friends of ours. I should include my wife with this. They're friends of ours. We've known them for many years. But their kids are getting older, which means we're getting older too. And taller and all those kinds of things. But they'll be here. They do an excellent job of playing different instruments and singing songs, a lot of hymns that they sing. And they'll be here for the whole time. I will not be preaching that Sunday. Good time to ask a friend to come to church. But they'll be here for the whole time that Sunday morning, for at least the majority of the time on Mother's Day in May already. And we also want to remind you that during the week, this coming week that's coming up, there's a women's Bible study at 9:30. I believe they have a study on the Holy Spirit. And so that's at 9:30 on Tuesday. On Wednesday, the ladies they have a luncheon at El Mariachi's in Spirit Lake. It's a Mexican place. And if you'd like to be a part of that, there's a sign-up sheet in the kitchen on the refrigerator. And if you forget to sign up but still like to come because you're not sure what your schedule is going to be on Wednesday, you can still show up at 11:30. And I don't think anyone will tell you to go somewhere else, but join the ladies. Good way to get to meet some of the ladies here at Harbor of Joy. And I'd like to congratulate Dave and Sarah Reef on their grandbaby. I got to tell you something a little funny. Dave stopped in my office to say, I got to go. My daughter, water is broken. And I'm thinking of a water pipe. And I'm like, yeah, you better get there. You better fix that water pipe because I know she's pregnant. He comes back in and goes, she's having a baby. I go, oh, okay, I took it the wrong way. So, but they had a little girl, their first granddaughter is what they have, and we congratulate them on that. Millie is her name, and she's got a big brother, Noah. And so everyone is doing fine. Also remind you just that the blessing box, the little food pantry that we've got outside that's open 24/7, it's being used. It's really being used, and Dave's been so faithful in coming over and restocking it. And he's just saying that what's going really fast are some canned meats, some Cheerios or cereal, some Ritz crackers. You know, those are some things that give you some idea that if you do go shopping or if you're at the grocery store, you go like just pick up just a little extra or one can or some of these things. You can just bring it to the church, and Dave will appreciate that and he'll fill up that blessing box that is outside of the church on the south side by the parking lot. And also, so I'd like to thank Gloria for the program on Wednesday night, and all the teachers and the volunteers that were here. We had a good time with hearing the kids sing and being here and good food following afterwards. And so I just want to remind you that on the 15th of May, you want to just say a thank you to Gloria, bring a card or whatever it is, talk to her, whatever, just we'll do that the 15th after church during our fellowship time, just to keep that in mind, that we don't want her to think that we take advantage of her, but we just like to let her know that she's very appreciated for all that you do and have done for us here at Harbor of Joy. Appreciate that very, very much. So those are the announcements that I'm going to make. Right, let's just have a word of prayer before I turn it back over to the praise team here, praise band. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your presence is here with us. We thank you, Lord, for those that are joining us by Zoom No matter where they may be, they could be from Iowa, they could be from different states, they could be someplace around the world, we have no idea. But we know, Lord, that you care about each and every one. And I'm so glad you've got big shoulders that you can, you know, everything about everybody on this planet, and it doesn't overwhelm you. You don't get just play wore out or tired out, but you can handle all these things. And so we are grateful that even people who have things going on medically or physically and emotionally, Lord, they are people that you care about and that you sent Jesus, your son, your only son, who died in our place to be able to help and to comfort people who are going through different kinds of things. Thank you for being there for those, Lord, that are in hospice, especially today. Lord, may they know that they're not alone. May they know that you are there with them and that you are able to do more than what any doctor can do, more than what any one of family members can do. And at times that we just have to turn them over into your hands and say, Lord, I'm just glad that we can do this. I'm just glad that I can bring my loved one before you and pray for them, and you know, Lord, maybe the time has come where we just pray they're ready to meet you, because we know that things are going in that direction. So be with those, the families that are affected by these kinds of things, and even in our audience, Lord, that are on Zoom, there's probably people like this that they know of, and going through difficult times as well, that you're a God who brings purpose, you bring life, you bring joy. There's a lot of things, Lord, that you are able to do even in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a big wind, that we have nothing, it's all out of our control. But Lord, we have you to lean on, and I'm grateful for that. So we just lift up this morning's service to you. Be with all that is said, all that is done today, that brings glory to the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
There is no one like Jesus. We're going to hear a little bit about that in the message today, that there's power in the name of Jesus. The disciples were told not to go around talking about Jesus. So it gives a real preview of what's going to be coming here this morning. Responsive reading today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 19 through 26. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men.
But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man.
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive.
But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him.
Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power.
For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Thank you.
can be seated. Charlie Hurdle, she says she sings one song after Easter every year. So Charlie, you're up here already. Lord bless you as you share with us your song.
Yep, it's that time again, my annual Sunday after Easter song.
And you're taking us all out for dinner, aren't you, Astro?
You want to go fishing first? The first Sunday that I did this, we learned that Jesus owned nothing but the cross. And we learned what the other side of the cross was, more or less, from his aspect. And as Christians, we always know that no matter how hard things are going, how bad, how much hate, we know that God will win. So today, I'm singing, laughing. Jesus is laughing. There's a picture on the wall that brings me comfort. My weary eyes rest on it from time to time. It's a sweet, unique depiction of the Savior. It's the only one I know quite of its kind. It shows him
hard to No, last Sunday was Easter. That fits right in there where we have a joy that comes to us through Christ. Because of his resurrection that we celebrated last Sunday, that Jesus continues to do things that will encourage our lives and help us along the way, regardless of what we are dealing with. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes from the book of Acts, that's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Written by Luke. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And so we're going to turn to Acts chapter 5, read verses 17 through 33, and pay close attention to this portion of scripture, because I'm not going to be able to cover all of it here this morning. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." Now notice, they never say Jesus, the name of Jesus. They'll refer to him. Don't say that name. He said, "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Again, this man's blood. They didn't mention Jesus. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Heavenly Father, these are your words. May they come alive for us here this morning. Help me to speak on behalf of you today, that what is shared, what is said, will speak to someone's heart here today that will make a difference in his or her life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We go back, probably back to Good Friday, which is not that long ago. And we knew that the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, all the religious leaders, they had one intention in mind, and that was to get rid of Jesus, make sure that he was killed. And they did that. They did that. And what we find in our text here today is that even though they got rid of Jesus by having him crucified, they did not have a change of heart on what they had been involved in with him. Because he was an innocent man. Innocent blood. And yet it had no effect on them whatsoever. They continued in their jealousy, and now we find that they're still jealous, and now they hate his disciples. They hate the apostles. And they're out to get them too. So we see in today's text that there was no change of heart at all of those who made sure that Jesus was sent to the cross to be crucified for us. An illustration of this, I'm mindful of a number of years ago, I had a mom and dad that came to me and said that their son was in jail, and if I would go visit him. And so I did. I went and saw him a number of times, listened to his story, shared Jesus with him, prayed with him, and to the point where he even said, you know, I really need to get closer to God, and I know that the people I've been hanging out with and doing things with are really not a good influence on my life. And so I need to start anew, and I know that the Lord can forgive me, and I said, he sure can, and only he's going to help you through this. Well, he got out of jail, and then the word I got back from his mom and dad, and he said, so how's he doing? And they said, you know, he went right back. He's doing the same thing he did that got in trouble before. And then they go like, Pastor, I think he just got conned. He's a con artist. Which means that whenever you got into trouble, you would do anything, you'd say anything to whoever came to see you to try to get you out of the pickle that you were in. And so I never know what happened to this guy, but I just learned some things and going like, well, he's going to have to answer to God regardless. And I did what I could, but in the end, he'll have to answer for his own kind of deeds. We know that in the book of Acts, what Luke writes here about Jesus, we know that Jesus is not a con artist by any means. He's going to write and tell the truth of what he learns about the life of Jesus. And so we get to the point in Acts, it's like, well, what happens to the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, after he ascended into heaven? Because we know that the very first chapter in the book of Acts, we find that Jesus goes up into heaven. There's disciples see him go up, and it's an angel who comes and talks to him and says, hey, the same Jesus you see going up is the same way he's going to come back again. Everyone will see him come back again. That's what we call the second coming of Jesus Christ. All the world will see him come back again. It's different than the rapture. The rapture is just something that happens very quick. The dead in Christ go first. Those that are alive in Christ will then follow. And it happens like a twinkling of an eye. Wait, you blink your eyes once, it's happened. It's gone. The people are gone. We love Jesus. So in our text here today, we find that the ones who crucified Jesus are now going after his disciples, after the apostles. And we find that the party of the Sadducees, they are the ones who really wanted to get rid of the disciples. It talks about the associates of the Sadducees. You know who they are? It's the family of the high priest. It would be Annas, who is the father-in-law to Caiaphas, and the rest of that family. We find in Acts chapter 4, verse 6, a few of the names that go along with Annas and Caiaphas. There's John. It's not John, the one who writes the book of John in the gospel. They have someone in the family by the name of John. There's Alexander. And it says that there are other men of the high priest's family that are the associates. They're the ones behind this. And why are the Sadducees so dug in on wanting now to get the disciples of Jesus? Very simple. If you remember, the Sadducees don't believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees do not believe in angels. The Sadducees do not believe in a Holy Spirit. So therefore, when they find that the apostles of Jesus are out teaching in the temple courts, They're teaching the people about this Jesus who came back from the dead, and it was the other Jewish leaders who made sure that he was crucified and he was murdered, basically, by them on the cross. That the Sadducees don't like to be talked about in that light, because they don't believe in what they're saying to begin with, and they feel that they are the ones who are supposed to be watching the things that are being taught to the people, to the other Jews that are in Jerusalem and beyond. And so they find that that Peter and the other disciples are speaking to the people about Jesus coming back from the dead, because they saw him. They visited with him. They were with him for 40 days before he ascended into heaven. That they were told by the Sadducees and by the Sanhedrin, the big court, that do not talk about the name of Jesus. Don't mention the name of Jesus anymore. We don't want you to say a peep about him, or we're going to put you in jail, which they did anyway. Fourth chapter of Acts, it says that they did put him in jail. I think it was Peter and John. And so here we find that they arrest them again. They put him in jail, and this time it's a public jail, so it's kind of where people can walk by and kind of see who's in the jail type of a thing. And why are they there? They're in jail because they were found to be talking about the name of Jesus, who's come back from the dead. The resurrection. They could not help but to tell others that Jesus came back from the dead. And of course, they were witnesses. They were eyewitnesses. It wasn't just them. As we talked about last Sunday, Jesus showed up to where there was more than 500 brothers and sisters that were together. So it was a big crowd that Jesus showed up to. It wasn't just his own disciples. It wasn't just one disciple that that saw him there. But it was all of them. And of course, one time Thomas wasn't there, but when Thomas did come back into the room that was locked, Jesus showed up and he specifically kind of seeks Thomas out. He says, "Thomas, touch the scars of my hands. And then place your hand into the side with a spear that pierced me." And when Thomas did that, the words out of his mouth was what? "My Lord, my God." Doubting Thomas became a believer. And so we find here the Sadducees were not at all like that. The apostles were not abandoned, even though they were in jail. For to their surprise, an angel shows up to them and says, "Hey, by the way, guys, I'm an angel here. And I want you to go out and continue to tell the story about Jesus. Tell about the full gospel, the whole life that you have been sharing. Tomorrow morning, you know, there's going to be a jailbreak here. I'm going to let you guys free. You're going to get out. No one's going to see you, but you're going to go to the temple courts, and you're going to start telling people, teaching people about Jesus." And they did that early in the morning. Now, the interesting thing here is that the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin have no clue that this has gone on. They're expecting the apostles to be in prison. They've got guards posted there. They're told to go get them and bring them to them. So the Sadducees, Caiaphas, kind of in charge of all this whole thing, he's expecting the temple guards to come back with the apostles of Jesus, that they can kind of get to the bottom of this whole thing. And so they go, the guards go, and they find out that, hey, the guards are there. The cell has no people in it. We don't know where they are. So how can that be? It's a kind of a miracle that we find in the book of Acts. And then somebody comes and gives them a report that, hey, the guys you locked up, they're in the temple courts this morning, and they're preaching and talking about Jesus of Nazareth again. And so they said, "Go get him." And so the temple guards went with his officers, and they got the apostles, and it's interesting that they had more fear of the people than they did of the apostles. And they said, well, will you just come with us? We're going to take you to the high priest. And then the apostles came. Well, they could have fought it. They could have said, no, we're not going to follow you. We don't like you to begin with. They never did that. They never said that. But they went with the guards, the temple officers, and they took them to the high priests, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and then they had their chance to be able to ask them questions. And so the high priest questions them, and he says, why are you talking about Jesus when we told you not to? And why are you teaching others that we are guilty of killing Jesus? Because they're thinking that they're going to work up the people that are going to come after them because of what they had done. Now, of course, Peter, now we find that there's boldness that happens because Pentecost has taken place. Boldness happens with the disciples where once they wouldn't say a whole lot, they'd run the other way. Well, now they're more bold, and they go like, we're going to stand up for our Lord and our Savior. And it's Peter who speaks, as well as the other disciples, that said, well, we must obey God rather than men. In other words, saying, we got to obey God rather than listen to you, Caiaphas or Christ. Or the Sanhedrin, all you rulers, religious leaders, we have to obey God, not men. So one of the things that, to Peter's defense, what he's really saying to all of these guys, powerful people, he says that you are responsible for murdering Jesus, because you were responsible for him being crucified. He tells them that the God of their fathers, and he's referring to the Jewish people, because many of them are Jews. And he said, you know, our fathers, our forefathers, it is their God is the one that we are serving. And it is the God of our fathers who raised Jesus from the dead. It's the God that we are following. You are to be following him too. But he's the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And the Sadducees and all these religious leaders, they totally missed Jesus' character and person. Because they refer to Jesus here as Prince and as Savior. They didn't realize that Jesus was the Messiah. And here he's referred to as the Prince and as a Savior. And in all of that, what Jesus wanted to accomplish more than anything else is that these people who crucified, wanted him dead, wanted to get rid of him, he wanted them to repent of their sins, seek his forgiveness for the jealousy that they had in their hearts, which they never did ask for repentance. They never did ask. They never admit to being jealous. They never admitted to hating Jesus. They never admitted to wanting to get rid of him. And really all that God wanted to do was to say, I want you to know I'll forgive you guys if you'll just forgive your sin and admit what you're wrong in doing. Does that mean that you can be here at church and not admit that you are a sinner? Can that happen? Can it be where a pastor can be saying something that isn't true from the scriptures? Yeah, that can happen too. And it does happen every Sunday somewhere. It does happen. That's why it's important to know what God's word says. That's why it's important to be, you know, check out what the pastor says. Ask questions about it later on or whatever. It's a good thing to do. But the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, all these people, had the opportunity to admit to what they had done and that was wrong. And we find that they didn't do it. You know, it's not a good thing. It can happen in the lives of people who are here, even this morning. We just don't want to admit to the truth that I am a sinner. I'm not all that I should be. I fail. Again and again. But I'm glad there's a Savior that I can go to who will forgive me and help me start all over again. So when the Sadducees and all of those that were there together, when they heard the truth of what Peter says, it says they became furious. They were so mad that they wanted to do to them just what they did to Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They did not want to admit that that is what was going on in their hearts. And that's sometimes what can take place. Maybe it happens every Sunday. In a church setting like this too. The Holy Spirit comes and nudges us and brings things to our mind and to our attention that, hey, you never really admitted to this sin. You never talked to God Himself or to Jesus that you have sinned. A lot of times we like to think that we've been to church, so we've done everything right. Everything's okay in our lives. But really, that's not the case. Because you can be thinking of other people, even here today, of saying, like, I know somebody that never likes to admit that they're wrong. And you might have that person's face in your mind. And then I would come back and I'd say, like, well, what about you? What about you? Do you ever admit that you're wrong? Do you ever admit that you sin? Why do you always try to point it out that somebody else is worse than you are? And I know that a message like this can make somebody pretty mad. But I really believe that a person's got to become mad and angry at sin itself first. And then they'll become glad once they repent. Once they admit to their sin, the Lord said, I will forgive you. We can start anew. Just admit it. It's tough to admit it sometimes. It should be sometimes. It's probably tough to admit all the time. But God will forgive. And that's what will make you glad. When you know that you have dealt with it in God's way, rather than in man's way, your own way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that you are speaking to someone here this morning. I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's a guy, if it's a girl. But I do know that you are making it very clear and whom you are talking to here this morning. And so, Lord, it's a good thing when this happens. As much as it irritates us or gets us upset, gets us mad, gets us angry, it's a good thing. Because it means that you are working in a way that is bringing us closer to you. Lord, the closer we get to the light, and Jesus is that light, the closer we get, we oftentimes find more dirt. The closer to light, we find things that we'd rather not want to see or admit to. And so today, Lord, you are working in a way that is making someone feel very uncomfortable here this morning. But that's a good thing. We know that the right thing to do then is to admit whatever you are showing us, whatever you're revealing to us here today, and to just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know you're talking to me. I know you've been dealing with this for a long time. I need you to forgive me of this sin. Thank you for always being there for me. Thank you for forgiving me when I come to you, such as today. I want to leave, not with a bunch of conviction, but I want to leave today, Lord, relieved and happy and glad that I finally admitted to something that I've been dealing with for a long time, and that you have forgiven me today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I should have prayed the Lord's Prayer. Following that, let's do that together, shall we? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. For benediction today, I just want to give you two verses. It comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8-9. It says this, though you have not seen him, referring to Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Thank you.
that we are having our annual, semi-annual meeting here following church service today. We're going to take 15-minute break and then come back in here. And then Dean, our president of the congregation, will take over from there, yes. Thanks for coming today. Lord bless you.
5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes?
5 or 10.
Okay, whatever.
We'll have coffee afterwards.
Whatever, have coffee. Your members and friends.